morning. It's the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish. Sports on 590 The Fan. Happy Tuesday, folks. 2 days away. That trade deadline.
Oh, it could not come.
We're clawing our way.
Any sooner. It's, so I've always had this for, like, the NHL trade deadline, right? Like, it's, but it's, like, the opposite. It's, like, not enough information, and you're just so annoyed. Because, like, we should be talking about stuff, but we can't because there's nothing really out there.
Sometimes there's a floating of something.
And then the NBA is just the complete opposite. Like, it's just absolutely insane. And with the Raptors at the heart of it, it is a bit overwhelming. It is very fun to consider and talk about. But it's kind of like, it feels like there's a lot of smoke and mirrors, right? Like, what is actually truth and what's not? I feel like we're buying into, there's like 90% smoke and mirrors, and maybe there's 10%. There's the diamond in the rough that's real. And I guess we'll eventually learn about what's real, but it just seems like there's a lot of misdirection right now.
I had a real panic attack yesterday about to go on the air.
A real panic attack, or you're exaggerating?
Well, that was an exaggeration.
Because a panic attack pre-Tim and Friends would be a rough spot.
We were all prepared for Tim and Friends, Jesse and I, to host that yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Great job, by the way.
Thank you. And 4:45, finish your hair and makeup. You're getting all mic'd up, and Woj bombs are floating all over the internet.
Didn't I text you like, I completely forgot you were on, and I texted you something stupid at, like, 4:50, and you're probably, like, so pissed about that.
You're like, oh, my God, I got some heaters of a trade. And I said, Justin, it might be done in 10 minutes.
Oh, that's what it was, yeah.
And
I was really excited about the fake trade that I made that surely did not interest you at that moment.
No, not at the moment. And I'm trying to, like, get my tweet deck open while they're putting powder on my forehead because I'm sweating and it's shiny.
How late did they put the powder on you?
No, like up to 15 minutes before. Are you prepping
like 5 minutes before?
Oh, yeah. Like, I had a piece of paper that we ripped into shreds and threw it mid-show because we had no idea where this was going to go. All of a sudden, Woj is like, here, I'll read the tweet. ESPN sources, the Nets and Mavs trade still hasn't been made official with league offices. Pause. I was like, I didn't even know that could happen. Nets are evaluating opportunities to expand the deal with a third team. And so you're like, okay, that's interesting. Teams are expected to make a two-way deal official in the next couple of hours. Next threaded tweet. Many conversations lead are going through one team today, the Toronto Raptors. And then it was like, rear, rear, alarms. Like, we're about to go on air. God knows what's going to happen. Is Kyrie a Raptor? Maybe the sky is falling. Maybe Katie and Kyrie are coming. It just everything starts to tumble in your brain. It's complete chaos. Then you go through the first hour and it's all speculatory, like what's going to happen? Ooh, we should get this insider on. We had one of the insiders on. And anyway, hour two, nothing happens. So you can take a deep breath.
I love the way Woj phrases his tweets. Like, that was so needlessly dramatic.
Knew that was going to pop off.
Like, it could have easily been, oh, the Raptors have a lot of conversations today. Raptors active today. But it's like
going through one team,
the Toronto Raptors.
And then you picture, like, Masai with the Dubis two phones.
Yes. Bobby has two phones, doesn't he?
Between them, four phones up to their ears. They need more ears. Anyway, it was chaos. Nothing came from it in terms of the Raptors stuff. But it doesn't mean something can't come from it. But the door was closed on making this a three-team deal last
that
night.
Door closed, but it seems like there are a multitude of doors, like, opening a crack.
Yeah,
at least, and it feels like, okay, which one are we barging through here? It seems like there's a lot on the table, even though we could start with your Stein conversation last night on Tim and Friends. Mm-hmm. He was kind of like, they don't expect much. I don't think
in person on the phone he said that, but his Twitter feed was saying the opposite.
I know. I was like,
I thought he was going to break a deal on the air, and I'm like, I don't even know how do you get the trade machine up to analyze it. That was anxious.
So he kind of dismissed the fact that OG's a guarantee, that Siakam was on the table, that it would take some convincing, right, from the Raptors' standpoint, mm-hmm. to get involved. And then before we shut things down for the night last night, it seems like Siakam could be on the table. And OG's still very, very much one of the biggest chips that can go. Fred, Gary, everything on the table for the Raptors, at least it seems.
Okay, so this was, we can play some of that clip. But I want to read the tweet first, which kind of got us jazzed up to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Stein, the Nets have also been described to me as a team with Pascal Siakam interest. Although the signals entering the final week of the trade season have reflected a reluctance from Toronto to make Siakam available. So that was the first time I saw a Siakam name, like, in a trade conversation in a while. I completely had floated that out of my mind. Scottie and Pascal were most likely going to be part of this Raptors future. We hadn't really talked about a Pascal future that wasn't with the Toronto Raptors in any seriousness.
Because what are the Toronto Raptors really if Siakam goes out the door?
Oh, this is your full tear down, blow it up.
That is the scorched earth we thought, nah, like it can't go that far.
And we hadn't thought that way in at least 2 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. And so for him to
thought about scorched earth in my head, it never really included Siakam, at least right now. Maybe in the summer, but not right now.
But I get the logic of it because after the Kyrie deal happened, I felt like there was a little bit of anxiety with some of these teams that, okay, something big happened. We were all in on this. Who else is available? Like, are we going to be left short here without anything? Can we make a big splash? It's almost like a trickle effect that people thought that they could get something. Not Kyrie. I mean, Pascal's a really great player, but he's in a Kyrie-esque conversation.
Mm-hmm.
He should be an all-star.
I mean, if you're comparing their like best days, not quite, but yeah.
So I think that that's why that became a bit more rapidly discussed in Sunday, but he did shut it down and he said that they're really reluctant.
Well, I think the key is not necessarily, wow, we got to keep up with the Dallas Mavericks, but hey, the Brooklyn Nets just had their hand forced by Kyrie Irving, right? And the Brooklyn Nets had big ideas and ambitions about this season, and now they have some money to play with, even though they did take back some salary. You obviously have to take back salary to get pretty much any deal done in the NBA, but it opens the door for an addition for them. Maybe they panic and pay too much for something else. So I think the fact that Brooklyn's involvement in the Kyrie Irving situation has basically thrown a wrench into everything and everyone's plans, at least it seems. And if Brooklyn gets aggressive as a buyer or a seller, everything can change.
Happen, yeah.
So if they, and it seems like they're the team that is targeting the Raptors the most, because we saw two different reports yesterday involving Siakam to Brooklyn and Fred to Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
So if they go that route where they're aggressively shopping, it seems like they have an eye on the Raptors. And if they go the opposite route where they want to trade KD because they're like, oh, we can't make anything of this year, KD's going to want out anyway, then KD gets thrown into the trade carousel and things are even more interesting that way. I do find it interesting that Brooklyn has circled the Raptors because we talked all summer about maybe the Raptors get KD. Maybe KD just gets the Raptors and Fred and Siakam end up in Brooklyn. What a story that would be.
Oh, my God. That's put that one in the trade machine. You got out a couple other things.
I probably should have.
I might have found one. I might read that for you. Okay, let's play one of those clips at least as an updated Stein talking to me and Jesse on Tim and Friends yesterday about the latest Raptors speculation.
I don't think Masai Ujiri wants to seriously entertain a Siakam or Ananobi trade now. But a lot of people around the league think that there is still time for that stance to change. Again, it is only Monday. Offers are coming in for Ananobi. Offers are coming in for Siakam. Fred VanVleet and Gary Trent Jr. are in a different category because those guys can go to free agency, become free agents, get contracts that make it difficult for the Raptors to keep them. So Trent Jr. has always been the most likely Raptor to me to move at this deadline. But, you know, Fred's name keeps coming up more and more and more because we know he's going to go to free agency. And, you know, he is reputed to want a contract in the $140 million range. And at some point, it's going to get very expensive for the Raptors to keep all these guys.
Okay, so this was in the midst of not knowing at the moment if Fred and the Raptors would be a part of this three-team trade that hadn't been finalized with
Kyrie.
Okay,
so you guys were still working with incomplete information.
Yes.
Then?
So, but this conversation still was, will the Raptors be in a Dinwiddie conversation with Fred VanVleet moving off?
So a Dinwiddie conversation is, like, he's a serviceable player for sure. But it is waving the white flag. You're not getting Spencer Dinwiddie, and that's laid out here by Brooklyn in that they're taking back that player whom they know, and they are trying to flip them because he can't help them, at least in their eyes, right now, right? So it would be waving the white flag to a certain extent. And I don't think this is in for a penny, in for a pound type of deal. Like, just because you move Trent doesn't mean you have to go nuts. Like, there might be have to point or just put down the piece. Let's not go too far. But it seems like if they're taking back any salary in the Spencer Dinwiddie mode, they are essentially saying that it's not going to work now and in the short term here. And for that reason, I think we should expect some aggressiveness, maybe not in the immediate term, maybe not right before the deadline, but this summer and trying to build this team around, and maybe Siakam's involved in that, but kind of like, are you going back to Fred at that point if you're making that move? Are you not trading OG Anunoby? Like he said, there's a certain point where everyone's going to want and need to be paid too much. And as it stands right now, where there is a little bit more financial wiggle room than there will be, they pretty clearly demonstrated that it's not going to work with their current composition. And I don't think adding a Spencer Dinwiddie for whomever is going to really change that.
So the Spencer Dinwiddie, Fred Van Fleet conversation didn't work. It wasn't like a straight up. It would be with, I believe, some pick equity. So,
And Dallas gave up an unprotected first rounder.
So that would have been what
Brooklyn has some of their picks as well. So.
Believed like the 2029 first round pick. So Spencer Dinwiddie is, as you said,
2029 though. Like what?
So that's it,
another
that's
thing
it.
That we got to think about is like all these. If you're trading with LA long down the road.
Yeah.
2029 unprotected. What is that going to look like? Like, well, what is Luka Doncic going to be at that point? There's so much that goes into it. It feels like. They got to decide what they really want, what is prioritized coming back, and if it is long-term futures assets, it's going to be kind of disappointed if you're a Raptors fan, because, like, are we just heading into 5 years of darkness?
I think the 2029 first-round pick is more about trade value that you can use before then.
It's currency.
Than it would be,
it's currency, yeah.
And for a team maybe that's in full rebuild mode. So if you know a team that's in full rebuild mode that might want a 2029 first-round pick, that's... I don't think the Raptors are looking at that as, oh my God, that's going to change our future. At that point, that's a long ways down the road.
But in saying that, like, I agree. I feel like it would be just money to be spent, but unprotected first round picks for teams that may be trending toward disaster. Mm-hmm. And if you've got Kyrie Irving, you are trending toward disaster. I mean, I guess it's more valuable currency, but maybe that's the key down the road. It's just like hard to believe that you'd have to wait that long for something to come to fruition.
I think the biggest thing I took away from this, which we don't have to spend much time on because it didn't happen, was that if Fred and the Raptors were involved in this conversation, to me, it sounds like you might be conceding that you're not going to be interested or able to sign Fred for what his free agent value is in this offseason if you're already thinking about possibly adding him into a trade right now. This guy, Spencer Dinwiddie, isn't as good as Fred Van Vliet. But if you're going to lose him in the offseason and you can get a good player and a pick right now, I think that that gives a little bit of a pulse right now for where the Raptors are at. They held up this trade for a little bit of time last night, mm-hmm. debating if this is a pathway they wanted to go.
Yeah.
So are you going to be surprised if today, tomorrow, or Thursday, Fred Van Vliet is a part of a trade? I don't think so, because clearly he was a conversation they were having yesterday before 6:30 when the deal had to be resolved.
Yeah, and I guess you could work backwards and using incomplete information. I guess Siakam could have been a part of that, but it's not likely.
It doesn't really seem so.
Right? Like, you couldn't get...
Stein already kind of shut it down himself,
It feels
too.
Like it would be completely separate. Does Gary make any sense? Does OG make any sense? It does feel like Fred made the most sense, and Fred was reportedly involved. And if Fred is being actively shopped, or if Fred is being seriously considered in trade discussion... involving in a Kyrie Irving type deal with three teams and the NBA watching, like, yeah, there's a pretty good possibility the Raptors have reached the conclusion that there is no future here. We can't pay that money, and we have to look toward the future rather than cling to the past.
So with all this being said, there's going to be lots of rumors, and we will direct you to Blake Murphy's newest piece, which you can find at sportsnet.ca, where he goes through hundreds and thousands of trade requests and basically tells you why you're a moron for suggesting
that. Yeah, I'm thinking about that more, and I'm like, okay, where are the trade proposals from you, Blake?
Yeah, he kind of shuts down everything.
Like, it's just like it's like the food critic that gets to eat everywhere and doesn't make food themselves.
It's all bad.
Well, let's see what you're cooking up.
One thing that he also did post was a spreadsheet, of course, that you can kind of... to be honest... this is not my area of expertise.
Neither is it mine.
Unprotected versus protected versus whatever. What I did learn about this unprotected 2029 pick was what you just said, is that it's roughly the value of a lottery protected 2023 pick with a higher upside. That's what I did with the research.
Can you say that one more time?
So this unprotected 2029 pick that I just mentioned that could be a part of this No, was, not happening.
That,
Fred VanVleet
did belong to Dallas, now belongs to the Nets. Yeah.
Is accordingly roughly the value of a lottery protected 2023 pick with a higher upside. So if you're a team and you're looking at that,
why?
I don't know. Ask Blake Murphy. Okay. Read his report. Go on sportsnet.ca. Okay. Look at his trade
sheets.
There's
a lot of words in that.
Exactly. Take it as you'd like. That's a thing that he said.
I'd rather have the unprotected 2023.
Well, that's the kind of the same value if you're looking at like how you can evaluate putting. Because you're going to see trades. We're going to talk about trades. This guy, and a pick in this. This is the problem with NBA trades, though. Is there's like salary matching. There's trades that are dependent on where you land in the standings. It's like so much easier to be like, trade Matthew Nyes for Timo Meier.
Well, if there's one thing we learned. It's a lot easier in the NHL.
Yeah.
Because they're like clear direction, clear motives, clear.
This guy fits on this line.
Yeah, it does make a lot more sense. And it's like, oh, that doesn't fit in the salary cap. And there's salary matching, sure, but that generally doesn't happen. Like, yeah, we've been talking about Alex Kerfoot maybe being salary matched on the way out for a while.
Sure.
But like, I think we also know that it would leave another hole on the Maple Leafs roster and all that. Anyway, the NBA it's definitely more convoluted. It's way better. It's way better.
Oh, for sure.
Because you can manipulate the salary cap. You can work around things. It's not hard and fixed, and it's not, you know, really, really suppressing like it is in the NHL. But anyway, it makes things a little bit more difficult.
It sure does.
But I will say, like, that's the one thing with trades. Like, everyone throws them out there and people just get hammered for proposing a deal in any way. But we're going to try. We're going to try, and I want to simulate what that would be like on Twitter. We'll invite Daniele on, our producer, who actually put us up to this. So, like, I feel like he's got to be ready to basically roast us for our fake trades involving Toronto Raptors.
And I found this extremely difficult because everything so there's the trade machine. You just type in KD for LeBron, and it's like, this would not work or this would work. You need to add blah, 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 blah. So there's a little machine. So all of ours are accepted in the machine, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So they're
big
not
time
like,
accepted.
They're not like impossible, but they might be crazy.
They might be crazy.
Or they might
we'll
just be
out.
Not good enough. Anyway, one team is always going to win or lose, most likely in a trade, right? There's never a perfect trade.
You didn't create a Siakam one, right?
No. So this was just for, because I don't think Siakam's going anywhere. We did one for good. Fred, OG, and Trent each. And that being said, there's always going to be a team that, I don't know, like maybe you're getting the short end of the stick or else the trade would have already happened if it was perfect, right?
Yeah, for sure. If we were all smart enough. If we're smart enough to come up with it, I'm sure the likes of Masai Ujiri, Bobby Webster thinking about it as well.
And we will certainly open the text line for your suggestions and your fake trades, because this is season for that. This is the opportunity for you to be a GM, for you to get yourself on both phones and you make the calls. Maybe they're listening and they
text
make it happen.
Text us with one,
today.
Call with the other.
Yes.
I will say, if you're going to send it in, make sure it goes through the trade machine. Do you want to start with OG? What do you want to start
yeah,
with?
Yeah, let's go with OG. So and this was good because I did cheat and ask you late last night just to see yours because I was getting anxious that I had no idea where we were going here. So yours was more of the Donovan Mitchell package. And so I thought, let me just take a little less crazy and take it one rung lower.
Because okay, so OG want me to be bearing the brunt.
No, it's not. Yours isn't far-fetched at all, but it's just yours.
I think mine is far-fetched.
But yours was the conversation we've been having ever since we heard that OG and the Donovan Mitchell package were like hand in hand and that's what they're asking for. So you're coming from a place of this has some backing, but it's a bit more spicy than mine.
Before we get started, I think it's like I had one. So I tried to take the Donovan Mitchell package is perfect because I tried to take the framework
structure,
of something that we've already heard of and try to use that to create my return. However, there's one thing that I coveted more than anything while making these deals, and that is draft picks, right? Because it's both currency and it's what you can use to build your next team, the team that's going to, or the roster that's going to support Scotty Barnes in the next iteration of the Toronto Raptors. So I really, really wanted to get picks. However, I could not find a way to do that in the Gary Trent deal, which I will get to last.
Same.
Let's start with OG Anunoby. So again, I tried to simulate the Donovan Mitchell package. I don't think I'm exactly splitting the atom here. We've talked about OG and the New Orleans Pelicans for a little while now. We talked about Devontae Graham coming back to the Toronto Raptors as a salary match thing. So I went Pelicans all in on OG Anunoby. Anunoby and Boucher to the Toronto or to the New Orleans Pelicans for Devontae Graham. Three young players that could develop into something for the Toronto Raptors.
Which I like.
Herb Jones, Jackson Hayes, and Dyson Daniels, and three first round draft picks. Now, I think this is crazy. This is a lot. Six assets.
Now that's a haul.
Six assets for Anunoby and Boucher. However, that's the Donovan Mitchell package. Mm-hmm. So if that's what was being floated out there, I tried to simulate it. I think you would take maybe one less player, one less first round pick. Maybe two is more likely, but that's what I want. If you want the Donovan Mitchell package, I tried to create it. New Orleans Donovan Mitchell package is that. Thoughts?
I do think that there's a lot with the three first round picks, of course, but you're right. This was a framework that we had seen. So if people think that this is an actual logical haul for OG, then you immediately say yes.
100%. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't.
Could bajillion times you say yes.
I do it for three first round picks.
Yeah, like, but you're getting four players.
But you're also giving Boucher and you're taking back Graham and it helps them out. But again, we've had...
That's a bit major, major win for the Toronto Raptors.
I went with the Pelicans, and I guess I tried to create wins for them. But I went with the Pelicans because I think they have the best collection of draft capital that would be involved in OG.
Exactly.
So that's why I targeted the draft capital belonging to the Pelicans.
So 100%, I looked at the Pelicans as probably the most realistic for this because they have a little plethora of first round picks in their future. And if anyone's willing to put them on the table, it could be them. So I went with a similar, or should we have
do yours, then we can bring them on to.
Okay. Do
criticize.
We need to write them out or is D taking notes? You got it? Okay. It's thumbs up. Okay. So a little bit less of a haul, but OG to the Suns for Jay Crowder, Cam Johnson, and a 2025 and 2027 first round pick. Now, Crowder is going to...
That's significantly less than mine.
Yes. Crowder is going to be an UFA in the offseason. Johnson will be a restricted free agent, but this is going to allow the Raptors to add two pieces that can contribute right away, and they can decide what to do with Crowder at the end of the season as he's on an expiring contract. But Johnson fits this young team's core. Mm-hmm. You have the first-round picks, obviously, that will be a part of the young team's core. They both add perimeter shooting, and OG... also would fit well with the Suns just because they're still in this title run. They want to get back to the NBA Finals. They need to get back on track. It's a nice win for the Suns in a win-now window. I still think maybe you'd want something a little more. I think the Raptors lose this trade, but you have two first-round picks, and the whole Crowder thing is the thing that makes this a little bit less
Well, it does them a huge
appealing.
Solid, right? I think the least appealing part of it is, what do those Suns picks look like? I think the ones that the Pelicans have are more valuable.
For sure.
Not that we're comparing like these trades or whatever. I just feel like you're doing them a solid with Crowder.
You are.
And what are you getting back from those first round picks? I'm not exactly sure. Do you have any opinions on those, D?
Oh boy.
I like the deals and the way you constructed them for the most part. I have two things. One, I think the protections are key. I don't know if they're, you'd have to, there'd be protections I would imagine on some of these first round picks. So it depends on, how many unprotected firsts you're getting, because that'll factor into a sort of, okay, what's the actual value here? I think the haul from the Pelicans is a hefty one. I don't know how realistic that would be.
Donovan Mitchell package, D.
You know what? I actually pulled it up. I mean, they got Lauri Markkanen, who's had a terrific season. Mm-hmm. Abaji, who I'm a fan of because I loved watching him at Kansas. And I can't remember the
Colin
player.
Colin Sexton.
And Colin Sexton, that's right.
It's a big
yeah,
player.
They did great.
Three first-round picks and a star in Markkanen, and Colin Sexton's a good player.
Right. So I think they obviously got a pretty solid return. I think the Phoenix one is underwhelming, and I'm also not sure how great of a fit he would be with the Phoenix Suns, simply for the fact that he's essentially a copy of Mikal Bridges, a guy that they already have. Mm. So I don't know sort of how realistic it would be in terms of his fit there. But in terms of the actual construction of the deal, I thought they were both very good. So, yeah, and I mean, imagine, I think if you're the Raptors and you laid, like, if even with the way Justin laid it out, if you could get two of the three young players that he mentioned in that deal.
Yeah,
Herb
like
Jones,
one less.
Jackson Hayes, Dyson Daniels, if you can get two of those guys, then I think you're in a great position. Along with, even if it's not three first-round picks, let's say it's two, whatever, If you get something along those lines, I think then you've done really well for yourself. I don't think Devontae Graham's in there for the salary matching.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's pretty much it. He's got no utility for them. He's not a fit. He's not a Nick Nurse kind of guy, to be quite honest, based on the skill set, too. So,
no.
So he'd just be strictly in there for salary purposes. And then, yeah. But I think if you're doing an OG trade, bottom line, you got to get a haul. So I like where Justin says that because, quite frankly, there's no impetus for them to do it right now. Other than him not being essentially saying he doesn't want to be here for the most part, there's no real impetus to do it right now. Same thing with Pascal Siakam. You kick that can down the road and you can revisit that in the summertime because those two guys are still on the books guaranteed next year.
I think the strongest impetus would be there's some desperation right now, or there's opportunity that people and teams around the league see. And if you could go, if it's Jones, Hayes, and two first round picks, one of the first round picks being the most valuable, I think you're jumping at that if you're the Raptors.
Yeah, you know what? That's a great point. The desperation of the other teams, like there was the report last week about the Pelicans and then Memphis not wanting each other to get OG. So imagine if you get into a bidding war situation there. I think they could be very selective on this one. Van Vliet and Gary Trent, which we'll get to in a second, I think is a little bit different, where you're trying to just maximize the possible return right now. But with Ananobi, there's more flexibility.
Okay, let's do Fred. You want to go first?
Sure. Where do we have here? Okay. Fred and Boucher.
Oh, we want to get, and that's another thing. Like, I kind of want to get rid of Boucher quietly during this deadline.
So far, he's like, if in they can both make, of our trades.
If they can make things, if that can, facilitate something, I feel like I'm willing to do that.
Okay, so Fred and Boucher to the Magic for Jonathan Isaac, Mo Bamba, and a first-round pick. Now, the Magic have already been rumored to be in on Fred, and they have some really young stars. All of them, I feel like, could be some fun trade chips in the future. But right now, Freddie can help Jalen Suggs. I think they can work in a little bit of like, hey, here's a vet, play under him for a bit, work together. Like, that's one of the things that's intangible about Fred is like, he's not just a good championship winning team caliber guy. He has some leadership capabilities, right? Magic have lots of young players. I think Jalen Suggs can learn under Fred VanVleet as a vet for at least a year or two, gives Fred some time to sign. Raps moving on from Fred brings in two guys at spots who desperately need help. You got a lengthy shot blocker at a center in Mo Bamba before Jonathan Isaac's injury. So this is like the little caveat where you may be taking a little bit of a risk. He looked like an elite defender. He's dealt with some injuries. The Raps pride themselves on having a good development system. So you give him a year or 2 years to figure it out, and his timeline could work with Scotty Barnes. So maybe that's the thing that you're highlighting when you hear this trade, that you're like, I'm not too certain about it, but also no state tax in Florida. Fred would love that a lot.
There you go. I was desperately trying to get Fred to the Magic. I couldn't figure it out because I think what Daniele will say is that pick has to be lottery protected, right? Like, I obviously wanted the 2023 first round pick from the Magic because it's, I think, like the sixth shortest odds, at least,
something
to get
like
the number one pick in this position right now. But there's no way they're giving up on that. So lottery protected first round pick seems like what it would have to be. And that's maybe a decent gamble because who's to say that Orlando takes a significant leap forward. So I think there's definitely something there. I just couldn't find the price that would match. You put in Jonathan Isaac to get there. I just don't know if they were willing to give up on that player.
Well, they just have lot of young players that are all kind of vying for time.
Like, and they don't make a lot of money. Like, it's hard to do the salary dump match.
Yes.
Right?
And I think it's feasible to say that maybe you give them some runway, like some of these guys, like Franz Wagner, Bol Bol. Who else they have?
All the young guys that they want to build around.
Yeah. Like, they need those guys to play more. And I think that's why I'm trying to...
They're the ones that Fred is supposed to support moving forward. And I think if the Magic are going to do it, why wouldn't they wait, offer a lot of money?
And the fact that they've already been in conversation made it easier for me to, like, pinpoint them and be like, okay, how could we make this work? Out of all 30 whatever teams.
I sent Fred to the New York Knicks for Derrick Rose, Isaiah Hartenstein, one of Quentin Grimes or Emmanuel Quickley, and a first-round pick. I think it's like in the 18th, 19th overall range. I guess that would have to be lottery protected. Maybe it doesn't have to be. Maybe that's like the gem there. But I think Hartenstein, maybe someone that you could slot into the center role as sort of a placeholder moving forward as you maybe spend your assets to try and get someone younger who can be the future of that position. I think you get a decent player between either Grimes or Quickley. Again, I'm not an expert on where Quentin Grimes is. I probably prefer him because he's more of an unknown asset that could grow into something. And you're taking on Derrick Rose's contract to get it all done. So it's really, you're getting a decent mid-first-round pick, a placeholder, I think, in Hartenstein, who can give you some decent minutes, and a guy who can replace OG, who's probably going out the mm-hmm. door otherwise, with Quentin Grimes. D, any thoughts on those two?
Oh, this is interesting. The Fred VanVleet stuff is very interesting. Okay, so I was as I was looking at and making notes, Orlando is an interesting fit to me. I know they've been rumored to say, oh, we're interested, we'd love to sign him in the offseason type of deal. Unless they're moving off, because look at the guards that they have to begin with. I mean, they've got too many guys, to be quite honest. They've got mm-hmm. Suggs barely plays right now and mm-hmm. hasn't really gotten his feet wet whatsoever because he doesn't have the opportunity, and he's battled some injuries as well. But they have Markelle Fultz still there. They have Cole Anthony still there. I think RJ Hampson's still on the roster. I could be mistaken about that. But they've gone and drafted and acquired a lot of guards, and they're still trying to find some consistency there. And I think the main priority for them should be, hey, we got to give Jalen Suggs the keys here at some point and let him go.
Yep.
So I don't know how much Fred VanVleet really does. Maybe he helps in a quote-unquote mentorship role, but that's one thing just in terms of the fit that I question about the Magic. I find like teams like Phoenix or the Clippers would be more suitable. And Jonathan Isaac, to me, I would not want to touch him because of the fact that he's been hurt and has gone through what he's gone through. He missed the whole season last year. And Mo Bamba's got 1 year left on his deal, so you're going to be making a decision on him next offseason.
What if I switched that with Bol Bol?
I don't know. To me,
it's all about the first round pick, right?
It really is. Like, to me, those guys,
it's basically Fred for a first.
Yeah, I like what Justin put together with the Knicks. I look at the return. Like, I would, whether it's Grimes or Quickley, I would personally prefer Quickley. I think he's the better player. I think you getting a young player plus a first, even if it's a protected first-round pick, that's probably the more enticing option. Because I don't know the Magic would have, like, they're not giving away Franz Wagner. Like, they're not doing that, mm-hmm. right? And he's their most, probably him, Paulo, of course. They're not giving away those coveted young assets when they're trying to build. And maybe, to be honest, the incentive for them would be to wait and try and get him in free agency anyway, because they're going to have the cap room, right? They're not paying anybody significant money right now. So they're going to have that flexibility in the offseason. The one thing with Fred, and this is where I think Fred is really interesting, is that the team that would acquire Fred gets his bird rights, which means obviously that affects the amount of money he's going to make in the offseason. It also puts a hard cap on the team. So this is where, like, the Clippers, for example, could only acquire Fred right now. They can't do it in the summer because they won't be able to afford him. If they do it now, they can afford to pay him because they own the bird rights. So there are some loopholes that the NBA has put in place here to basically, right now is the time because the Raptors have more leverage to trade him now than in the summer. This is why Fred in a sign and trade doesn't make a lot of sense. There's less leverage there. You run the risk essentially of just letting him walk for nothing, and you're not going to get as good a return as you would right now. So I like what Justin put together there. I don't mind, hey, you take on Derrick Rose's salary, get rid of that. And then Hartenstein is, you know, he's a guy. He's a guy. He's a piece. But I like the fact you're getting a young player in a first-round pick.
Yeah, I think that's...
Isn't Derrick Rose like 93 years old?
He's definitely close to 93.
He's up there. Yeah.
I think maybe the conclusion we can draw from this Fred discussion is the first round pick is what's most coveted, right?
Yeah. Like,
want the young player with it.
That's what he's been rumored to be worth too.
Yeah. And
so someone
I guess
give him a
I'm
first,
like,
and you're going to say, sure.
Sure. I guess I'm underscoring that. But there's a significant difference in the value. Like, if the Magic threw out there, you just grab it. You just grab it and you mm-hmm. take back Isaac, you just do it because it could be so valuable. The Knicks have two first-round picks. I think they're 18, 19 right now as it stands. And then I was thinking about, okay, can we get them to the Clippers? Because the Clippers don't have any ideas other than recreating the Raptors' 2019 run. And it's just not as desirable. And I tried to get the most desirable first-round pick, so I went with New York, but trying to still be realistic, and I wasn't sure the Magic one was realistic. Gary Trent Jr.
No, I think you need to go on this one first.
Okay, this one's a heater.
This one is actually... Everyone hold on to your hats.
I'm going to write it down.
Two hands on the wheel when you hear this one, okay?
I'm going to put it in the doc, Daniele, so you can actually see what it looks like. Okay, so three-team trade. Toronto, Brooklyn, and Phoenix involved. This is not the Gary Trent Jr. deal. This is the Kevin Durant deal. To Toronto, DeAndre Ayton, Jay Crowder, Seth Curry. Seth Curry's kind of just a placeholder to make the money work. I know he's more than that. So we can maybe find a different player to slot in there. To Brooklyn, Gary Trent Jr., Cam Johnson, Thad Young, Kem Birch, the entire Phoenix draft capital that we've been talking about to get Kevin Durant, right? So that's the lure here. They're giving up Durant to get the draft capital that Phoenix was dangling or offering or believed to be offering when they were chasing Durant in the summer. So they get all that back. I don't know if it's a Toronto first or second. I put a Toronto second in there to Brooklyn. So Brooklyn's getting Phoenix's draft capital, Gary Trent Jr., Cam Johnson, a pick, and some money to make it work from the Raptors. And then to Phoenix, Kevin Durant, Chris Boucher. Thoughts? Ailish.
This is absolutely crazy.
Is it?
It's just, I'm struggling to, like, unpack it.
Okay, so from the Toronto end, you give up Gary Trent. Yes. You really just give up Gary Trent
and
Jr.
your entire
for DeAndre
bench.
Ayton. And why?
And your entire bench, no?
No, Thad Young and Kem Birch.
Boucher.
And Chris Boucher. But you're trading your entire team anyway. You're going to get players back in return. If you're trading OG, you're replacing it with Herb Jones, Jackson Hayes, maybe. If you're getting rid of Fred, maybe it's Hartenstein and Quentin Grimes coming in. Like, you're getting players back, so the players have got to go out the door. So but this is actually, I think, beneficial to the Raptors, and I tried to create a scenario where they are benefiting from someone else making a bigger deal, taking on more risk. Kevin Durant going to Phoenix is risky. You might win the title with Kevin Durant and the current core that they have, but it might not work. It might blow up in their face, and they've used all their futures assets on this one mm-hmm. move. So this is like kind of the Raptors are getting involved and benefiting from the situation, being that third team. And sometimes when you're the third team, you can kind of get a little break.
Okay.
And the break is you send Gary Trent Jr. out, you get DeAndre Ayton, who has been rumored to be and connected to be the Raptors for a long time. So Ayton to Toronto, draft capital to Brooklyn, Phoenix gets Durant. That's really the crux of the trade.
Daniele.
I think it really comes down to how much do you like DeAndre Ayton from the Raptors'
Clearly
perspective.
Clearly, he loves him.
I don't really love him. I only gave up Gary Trent Jr. to get DeAndre Ayton.
Well, yeah, I mean, to Ailish's point, you're giving up, four pieces, three bench pieces. I mean, four rotation guys. Well, I mean, never mind. Kem Birch
Come on,
is no, whatever.
Thad Young and Kem Birch are irrelevant.
They still play.
Come on.
I mean, Thad Young plays.
We're hanging up on. We're hung
plays.
Up on that.
No.
I think it comes down to how much do you want. How much do you like DeAndre Ayton? Like, is it? Is he a guy that you're incorporating into your core and sort of building around there? Phoenix to me is they're walking. I know they're trading away. You're putting all their draft capital in here, but like, this is their all-in move to go for it mm-hmm. right now. The timeline might suggest that they might as well try it because they're not Chris Paul's not getting any younger, and then they're hopeful that Booker's going to come back here at some point, and then they have a really interesting trio there. But I like that Justin got really creative with this. Like, I think it's really creative.
Well, thank you.
I think it's really, really thought out and creative. The Raptors, you'd have to question, okay, why Ayton and how much do we really like DeAndre Ayton?
I've been questioning why Ayton for a while, but where there's smoke, there's fire. We keep hearing the name.
I agree.
So if we want to give up less for Ayton, this is maybe the avenue.
I think that this is better than Jakob Poeltl. For example.
Okay.
Like this to me is way better than Jakob Poeltl.
I'll take that.
100%.
Yeah, okay, Ailish, go ahead.
No, I was going to say the love affair with like Jakob Poeltl doesn't make sense. So if you're giving up those pieces the way you laid out, Justin, and you can get DeAndre Ayton, I would much rather have DeAndre Ayton.
And I'm making the NBA more fun. Kevin Durant going to Phoenix? Come on. See it. Ailish, your Gary Trent Jr. trade.
Mine isn't very spicy at all.
No, it's fine. Mine is stupidly spicy.
Gary Trent's projected value is a projected first round or two good second round picks, right? That's what the league sources are saying.
That's some good info.
Per Michael Grange. Ever okay. heard of him?
Yeah.
So I use that, my little trade machine. Gary Trent to the Grizzlies.
Okay.
For Zaire Williams, Danny Green. Ever heard of him? And
yeah.
a first. Simple.
Okay, so D, give us a quick Zaire Williams scouting report, if you may.
Oh, geez.
Okay, put him on the spot there.
Sorry, I know who he is. So sort of an unknown quantity, a little bit.
No, he's had his moments. I know he's been in and out of their rotation.
He was a top 10 pick, so was he not?
He was up there. He was a high draft pick.
Okay, so you got a decent guy to build around.
He's young, someone you
can wait and see and hopefully develop, and a first round pick. It'll be a late first round pick. Honestly, I'm okay with it.
That's pretty good.
And Danny Green can come home and have another ring ceremony.
That's the worst part of it. The worst part of it is Danny Green coming back
here. He can come to square one.
He'll be live at the Rec Room doing a live podcast.
He will be a part of SportsSense broadcast somehow. And Danny Green comes home.
Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry, future SportsSense broadcaster Danny Green. I want you back.
I'm just kidding. But yes, he's there for salary too.
That was good, Ailish. That was good.
Thanks, guys.
I like that one.
How about this one I found online? This is not me. It's just hilarious. I want to read it. It's like, this is a must-do trade. Okay.
All right.
Raptors get Kevin Durant. This is fun now. Sometimes you have to poke fun at the internet, okay?
Yeah.
Raptors get Kevin Durant. Just him. Boom. Okay. And the Nets get OG, Gary Trent Jr., Scottie Barnes, a 2023 first round swap, a 2024 first round pick, a 2025 first round swap, and a 2026 first round pick. That's actually,
at least I didn't come up with the dumbest trade.
So I just needed to give that to you as a, there are worse things on the internet.
That is definitely outrageous, without question.
Yes. So there are things that we can giggle at in this society.
And we will giggle when these trades finally come down and they are nothing like we thought. Yeah, that is the actual trade.
I think we did well. No one is proposing anything better at this moment in the text line, so bring it on.
It is honestly really tough. I mean, the trade machine...
That's probably one of the hardest exercises you can do.
The trade machine is great because it's like... It tells you, plug it in. It tells you if you're wrong. It tells you if it's possible, because sometimes we can get ahead of ourselves and things aren't possible. I will say, and they are a million times smarter than we are, the work is cut out for the Toronto Raptors to make best use of this situation, because it's not like premium assets are just going to be handed to them, even though they might have some of the most important dominoes in the lead up to the deadline on Thursday.
100%. And the fact that the insiders are saying everything goes through Toronto is a position of power, but also you don't have to force something, right? Like, just because you have all these assets, like there is a realistic avenue here where the Raptors make one trade and we're maybe feeling disappointed because we're hearing all these things, but I don't think it has to be you trade all three of these players that we just proposed for or not. Like, is there not a realistic avenue in your thoughts that maybe they just get rid of Gary Trent Jr. or Fred, and that's it at this trade deadline?
Well, what Dee outlined with the bird rights and the maybe there's some urgency to get rid of Fred if you're deciding not to extend
especially
that partnership.
Especially after him being in some conversations yesterday, right? That's what we started with the show with.
I'd be pretty disappointed. I'd be pretty disappointed if OG doesn't go. I'll be honest. Like, I love OG. I'm going to be cheering for the team that
he goes to. The Donovan Mitchell package
I just feel like a couple runs with OG at the number he's currently earning is a really, really strong asset, and the league knows it. Mm-hmm. And if the Raptors just cling to what is a partnership that doesn't seem to be working the way that maybe they envisioned, I think it would be misguided. So I think if OG and Fred go, it's a reasonable trade deadline.
And I think that's certainly something we should, maybe tomorrow, what is a successful trade deadline
in
your opinion?
And Siakam trade machine.
Oh, God.
No, let's not do that.
But I think this is where we're at now. We've just talked about this for the last month. Which direction do we want the Raptors to go in? Which direction do you think they're going in? It's all coming down to today, tomorrow, and Thursday.
I wonder if all league news chatter, the group chats today, they're all going through Toronto again like they did yesterday.
I think they will. Why would anything change?
Well, the Kyrie thing is done, so maybe that was part of it, but no. If they were involved yesterday, they should be just as involved today, I suppose.
I would love some insight from our loyal listeners at 590-590. This is it. It's your chance to play GM for whatever team you want. Raptors, send it in. And you want to be the Suns? How you want to get your Kevin Durant fix? Maybe you're really accepting our crazy trades or not. Send that in, 590-590. We'll take a look. We have some A-lists to get to. We have a full show here. Sam McKee joining us at 7 o'clock. We have Bill Daly.
Ever heard of him?
NHL Deputy Commissioner joining us at 7:30. Yow. Alex Wong at 8, and we're going to talk to Sarah Nurse also at 8:30. So with all that said, send in your Wake and Rake picks. Once again, no Toronto sports tonight. We'll get creative. The NFL draft. Wow.
NFL draft.
I've got draft and NBA in my mind. The NFL prop sheet is ready.
Our NFL Super Bowl prop sheet.
Sent out into the universe after the show today.
You still haven't sent it to me.
So we will.
I don't get to look at it before our listeners?
No.
All right.
It's a surprise for all. That will be sent out after the show. But $5.90, $5.90, your Wake and Rake picks, even though we have a guest at 8:30, we'll fit that in today. All of that ahead. The A-list is on the other side of the break on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish.
At 590 The Fan. Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
All right. We will have some time today, tomorrow, and forever to talk about the legacy of LeBron James as he is 36 points away from breaking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's all-time scoring record, a mark that has stood since 1989. Tonight could be the night, live at 10 p.m. Eastern on Sportsnet 1, OKC.
Might have to be a consideration in the old
1,000%.
Wake and Rake.
It will be a consideration tonight. 36 points away, yet he still plays on Thursday against the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played for. Mm-hmm. So if you are a script writer in the NBA, you think, that might be the perfect story. Anywho, we'll talk about that in the Wake and Rake, but we were discussing some LeBron legacy, what it's like to live in the world of the GOAT, et cetera. I think we'll punt that conversation to tomorrow, but I do have a LeBron-themed story for the A-list.
Let's hear it.
He's got a great life. You know, he is going to be possibly the GOAT or one of the greatest NBA players of all time. He's in his 20th season, but yet he has some things in his life that he wishes were different.
Go on.
In an article in the New York Times, a profile piece, he said the following, and try to hold your sympathy, because this is really hard to hear. "I wish I could just walk outside," James said. "I wish I could just, like, walk into a movie theater and sit down and go to the concession stand and get popcorn. I wish I could just go to an amusement park like regular people. I wish I could go to Target sometimes and walk into Starbucks and have my name on the cup like regular people, like regular people."
Flat white for LeBron.
He just wishes he could be like regular people.
Did he say it?
Oh, boy, you.
Did he say it in the tone you said?
Fortunately, it's written, so I can put whatever tone I'd like into it.
Okay.
But he said that. And you just got to feel for the guy.
I mean,
he's got it all, but he can't go to Target. And honestly, Target is one of the most elite shopping destinations in the United States.
I was going to say, why Target?
You rip over the border, you head to Target and Trader Joe's to get your everything but the bagel seasoning. Have you had that yet?
No, but really? We're going across the border
for cross-border
bagel
shopping.
Seasoning?
You head over there, you hit up Target, and you get a bunch of things you don't need. Fortunately, LeBron James can't do that.
No.
You got to feel for the guy.
But he's got probably a litany of people who are at his beck and call to go get the bagel
different seasoning
at any point.
He can't go get his caramel macchiato
there
and
are
say,
some
my
people,
name's LeBron.
There are some people who get attention that I have sympathy for. I don't think LeBron James is one of them, though.
That article, that profile piece didn't make you feel for him?
No. I feel like his life... I mean, I don't think there are many drawbacks, but everybody lives in their own context, right? So, like, it probably does affect him, but everybody else in the world would be like, hey, give me some of that LeBron shine. I'd love a little bit of that. I'll take the flat white on Uber Eats or skip the dishes or whatever, instead of having to go in myself and writing my name on it.
It is a tough life to be
a superstar. He could also just
superstar.
Do it if he wants to, though.
You think? I think he'd get absolutely mopped.
You don't think he could go into an LA Starbucks?
No, I don't think that LeBron James can go into an LA Starbucks undercover and get a flat white and nobody know who he is.
Isn't like every other person in LA a celebrity though?
Yeah, but it's LeBron James. LeBron James.
If he really wanted to, he could. You might have to sign a few autographs, but hey, that's not too terrible, I don't think.
Anywho, we'll talk more LeBron in the Wake and Rake. Send those picks in at 590-590. Could be tonight. It could be Thursday. When's he do it? It's going to be one of these two games. It's 36 points.
Yep.
It'd be actually shocking if it's not one of these two games.
Yep.
Place your wager. Send it in 590-590.
Well, I like your theory.
My theory's right. That's all I got to say.
That he kind of saves a little bit. So it's, you know, Kareem played for Milwaukee and
I'm
LA.
Telling you,
and
the script writers have written it.
He sends the skyhook through the bottom of the well, as our guy Paul Jones would say. It's perfect.
And the updated ticket prices to sit courtside at tonight's game, where they might see history made. Updated courtside price for tickets. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. The last I checked was $180,000.
You know what the dream is?
What?
Being able to afford those tickets, but also being able to step into a Starbucks whenever you want.
That'll never happen, Justin.
Oh, there are some
you
people. The cross section is there. The Venn diagram is there for some select few.
We'll see if the tickets are still going for that this morning, but could be the hottest ticket in the
sporting
history.
And could be a major
history.
Disappointment.
It could be. All right. Never a major disappointment. Our next guest, Sam McKee, producer of Real Kipper and Born Coast of Leafs Talk. After all of our Leafs games here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, you can tune into that. It's not a little while till we get to see the Maple Leafs back in action Friday against the Columbus Blue Jackets and then Saturday against the Columbus Blue Jackets. But let's get a little roundup with Sammy about the All-Star weekend and where the Leafs stand before and after. That's next on The Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish. LeBron James.